We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Elite Eight Saturday, everybody. We are here at Circa Resort Stadium Swim in Las Vegas to set the table for you. We began with 68. We're down to 8 for the national championship in college basketball. Welcome to our Elite Eight pregame show. We're presented by Bet Rivers. We are presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get 100% deposit match up to $100 with code FIELD, F-I-E-L-D. I'm John Fanta. He's Rob Doster. He's Jeff Goodman. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Terrence Oglesby.
Rolling about 85% right now, boys. Rolling about 85%.
It's your flu game.
Happy. This is my flu
it's
game.
It's your flu game.
This is my flu game.
I can't believe you bailed yet. I mean, you are ACC soft.
ACC
That's
soft.
You are ACC soft.
All right. For what it's worth,
Mr.
Goodman.
For what anything?
For what it's worth, Mr. Goodman. I'm not allowed to swim in this pool.
No, you're not.
That says, do not swim if you're ill with diarrhea or have had diarrhea within the past 2 weeks.
And in the opening minute of the show, you had to say diarrhea. Diarrhea. You know, you did bring up the ACC, so before we get to the game, since you're our ACC guy, just this morning, breaking news, Commissioner Jim Phillips saying he's going to pull everybody together because they have to develop a new plan in the ACC. Your reaction?
I mean, just be better. Like, have relevant teams. Like, don't suck. Don't look like a mid-major league. Am I wrong?
I think you need to realize that basketball's your bell cow. That's the big thing. We've gotten away from it. We're chasing football money. That's the big thing. We tried so hard to become a mediocre football conference that it became a mediocre basketball conference. That's what happened.
So let's set the table here on Elite Eight Saturday. Coming up in game one tonight at 6:09 Eastern time for Madison Square Garden. It's going to be Kansas State and Florida Atlantic. That game is followed by the game we're heading to. Folks, Vegas is buzzing. It's always buzzing, a little bit extra because Gonzaga is going to meet Connecticut for a Final Four ticket. That is the headliner. Then tomorrow, here you have San Diego State and Creighton. We'll get to that one. And then Miami and Texas. The thing that comes to mind, Rob, is college basketball. No one seeds left in this Elite Eight. Different areas of the country represented, different conferences, the mid-majors wrapped. What other sport could possibly deliver this eight
teams? None. It's the beauty of college basketball. It's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. And it's what makes this event so special. And a lot of people are going to push back on that, right? We want to see the blue bloods. We want to see the biggest brands. Look, if you can't get behind the idea that riding the wave of FAU is awesome, that seeing Marquise Noel go supernova in the NCAA tournament, if you can't get behind that being awesome, if you can't embrace the idea of San Diego State, a team from a Mountain West conference that everybody craps on nonstop, having them make a run, if you can't get behind Creighton moving to the Big East, having a chance to go to a Final Four, one of those four teams is going to be playing for a national title. Think about that. Think about that. It's awesome. How can you not love this?
No. I mean, listen, it's great for us again. It's great for the diehards that cover the sport. But let's face it, the casuals that want to see or root against Duke or Kentucky or Kansas, some of those programs, they're not going to have the same level of interest. And that's fine. What we have here today, at least in Vegas, is two heavyweightish programs, right? UConn hasn't been great in a while, period. Gonzaga's been terrific. Those are kind of the two big programs that we still have left. So we're going to get one of them at least in the Final Four.
Wasn't it seven out of the eight teams that are left have never won a national championship? And while you do say, well, yeah, we'd love to have Duke, we'd love to have North Carolina, or throw in whatever blue blood, Kentucky, I think it shows a lot to the sport and the diversity of the sport as far as across the country. You alluded to different conferences. I think it's a good thing for people like us as far as the casuals are concerned. I think there's a lot of validity to what Jeff's saying. You want those people in there to either root for or against the teams.
You want one of them. I think you want one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't really have any that people – Gonzaga would actually be the one that I think would intrigue enough people because, again, we know what the kind of mantra is with people, right? Like, can't win the big one. People would be paying attention if Gonzaga gets to the Final Four championship game a lot more than the UConn Huskies.
There's two things that come to my mind that I've seen in the last 12 hours. Number one, David Warlock, who does a great job with everything, is going to have everybody out to the Final Four in Houston as the head of communications with the NCAA and men's basketball. He said, there is no easy route to the Elite Eight. You just don't make the Elite Eight easily. Just because the collection of teams is what it is, nobody had some overly easy path to get here. You have to earn it. The teams that are here that are standing have earned it. Ask Marquise Noel. Look at what Drew Timmy and Gonzaga did the other night. And then the other thing is this. This is what's up for debate, so I'm going to tee you up on this. I'm actually going to start with you. Okay. How much of this, because people are like, well, this is the super senior still. This is COVID after effects. Or is this just the new normal in college basketball with the current climate?
Well, I think one thing we could take away is if you don't have far and away the best players, some of those coaches don't coach as well. And what's happened is I think it is those super seniors. I feel like I've said the same thing
all year.
You know, all year, right? And I hate to kind of beat a dead horse, but it is what it is simply because the talent is more dispersed. There's an extra year of players in this field, and what happens is these guys that can really coach that weren't getting those levels of players, they're getting those at least closer. It's closing the gap a little bit.
I like the idea of this and the fact that the gap has closed, but I don't love the super seniors. I don't love the COVID deal. Like, I don't think because everybody played 20, 25, even, like, more than that, some teams. They got almost full years. But I guess because it translated into this, all right, you know what, I'm okay
but
with
it. But is this leading a byproduct of it, or is this or 3 or 4 or 5 years from now we're going to continue to see this because you can turn a roster quickly in the transfer climate?
So here's my take on it, is that I do think that a lot of the reason that we're seeing some of the blue bloods fall away and some of the bigger brands fall away is what did they spend their money on? What did they spend their salary cap on, for lack of a better word? Big guys, Oscar Tshiebwe, Armando Bacot, Hunter Dickinson.
Well, they already had their guys.
Yeah,
right?
they already had them. But they brought them back, and those were what they built their programs around. And what do we know about March? What do we know about the NCAA tournament? What do you say? Hit the button, T.O. Hit the buzzer, T.O. Point guard play.
Baby.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Somebody also said, our colleague Kevin Sweeney said, well, it's also just the overall amount of talent across the country.
Well, that
there's more
year.
Guard play in general, right? Yeah. That can negate it.
Well, it absolutely is. But one thing we have learned, big wings win and point guards win. Big wings. I think if you look across college basketball and the different teams that are still in it, that those things help. I think whenever – who are the most highly touted kids coming out of high school, coming out of the transfer? You look at bigs. And we're thinking about it backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, a lot of the top guards go quickly, right? Jalen Hood-Schifino, he's one and done. There aren't a lot of dudes like him. The bigs are obviously, they can't go to the NBA. They can't go. The NBA doesn't want these guys.
Right.
So they're going to stick around. And honestly, somebody's going to take, you know, whether it's Hunter Dickinson going to the portal, whoever it is, somebody's going to want those dudes, even understanding that, hey, you know what? It might not win in the NCAA tournament. I think a lot of these coaches are like, I'll still give it a shot.
Who's the best team left in this tournament?
Right now, I don't see how you argue against UConn. The way they've been playing, the way they're popping the ball around defensively, they've been really, really good, and they're just so overwhelming. And, guys, they're playing with so much pace right now. You want to peak at the right time and have the talent. UConn's got both of those.
I mean, I don't know how you don't say UConn, right? They are.
Is this their hardest remaining game today? Is today their hardest remaining game?
Honestly, no. I said it last night. I don't think that this is a great matchup for Gonzaga. I think that Texas is going to be a tougher matchup for them. I would make the argument that Kansas State would be a tougher matchup for UConn. The way that you need to beat UConn is to be able to get out and pressure their guards. Don't let them run offense. And I don't see Gonzaga really being able to do that. And I think just the size and the physicality of Sonogo and Klingon can help negate Timmy.
I do want to change it. Like, we've talked about this now, and I've heard it, and I agree. UConn's an avalanche. Hawkins has been phenomenal in this tournament. He's blossoming into the star that everybody thought he could be. Adama Sonogo's work rate, amazing, and their depth is a factor. But I would say this. I think we're underselling Gonzaga a little bit. Like, I don't.
I mean, after watching him the other night, and again, like, if Julian Strother has to play elite-level Julian Strother,
yep.
Like, they don't have a chance. Because actually, to be honest, that's the one guy that UConn might have a little bit of a hard time matching up against.
So again, the line is wrong. Jackson. The line on this game's wrong, then.
I think UConn wins this going away. I really believe that. I believe this could be a double-digit win for UConn. Not as ugly as Arkansas. I just don't know how, unless Strother takes over the game. I think Timmy's going to have trouble. I watch UConn over and over and over, and I'm like, maybe Klingon can't handle him. Because, again, listen, Timmy is the ultimate veteran who's got every post move in the book. So maybe I'm kind of underrating what Timmy's going to be able to do against the young guy in Klingon. And Sonogo's not great defensively. He could score, though. He could get Timmy in foul trouble.
The thing that Sonogo's going to be able to do is you're not going to be able to back him down. A lot of what Timmy does is backing people down. Now, he's also got incredible
but
footwork.
But that spin move, man. Yeah, Sonogo will not be able to keep up with
won't.
That.
He won't. But I think
is Timmy going to bring it up and pass it to himself?
That's the other problem.
That's the issue. Right. That's where your issue is.
That's where Strother's got to be the dude.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, you got to have somebody play well out on the perimeter today. Yep. That's the bottom line. And how are they going to do that with Andre Jackson out pressuring the ball? Sorry to interrupt you, Rob.
No, I don't think this is a great matchup for Gonzaga. I think this is a really difficult matchup for him. And
it looks too easy, doesn't it? It looks
on paper. That's what I mean.
I know, and we're all saying that. And maybe True Timmy can, like, just have one of those performances again. But it looks too easy on paper.
The way that I look at it, and the reason why it looks too easy, number one, Connecticut is dominating in this NCAA tournament. They've won their three games by a combined 62 points. In fact, there are only two teams left in the NCAA tournament that have won all their games by double figures. Can you name them?
Texas?
No, they beat Penn State by only five or something.
It's Creighton and Connecticut.
I think Texas, though, has been equally as impressive.
I agree with you.
They pounded a Colgate team that a lot of people thought might pull off the upset. They beat a red-hot Penn State team.
Yes.
And then they blew out Xavier.
Very impressive.
Right?
Very impressive. Like, and not Xavier playing for the second time in 3 days. Yeah. It was Xavier with a couple of days to prepare. I just think with UConn, Andre Jackson can take away or at least limit Strother. The way that Jackson's playing, when UConn went on their run in January, talking to coaches around the Big East, they were saying, you know, his body language is not good right now. They said, Andre Jackson, he's a leader. He's the guy that makes things happen for them. Look at his lines. You're talking about a guy, he's the best, like, 8-8-8 guy in the country. He just impacts the game from a rebounding perspective, perspective, from a playmaking perspective. By Jackson being able to distribute the basketball, it's alleviating the pressure off of Tristan Newton from having to do it all. They combined for 14 assists the other night against Arkansas.
When Andre Jackson plays like Andre effing Jackson, I've been saying this, I've been beating that drum. And what happened in the middle of the season, we talked about this a lot, T.O., was his confidence was shot because no one was guarding him, right? When you're a guy that thrives on playing with confidence, and teams are saying, you're so bad that we don't need to guard you. It gets in your head. And so this is where, like, I get so fired up with the people that are like, Dan Hurley can't coach, right? He found a way to get Andre Jackson to know what spots he can be effective offensively. From the short corner, diving to the rim, and Sonogo gets a post touch. As the handoff guy in ball screens, right? As a screener on pin down, find a way to engage his defender, and they got creative with it. They changed what they do. They moved. Andre Jackson's playing the four for them now, essentially, in their offense.
Yeah.
It used to be the three. So it's... I give Dan Hurley a lot of credit. I give Andre Jackson a lot of credit. When he plays with confidence, honestly, you just need him flying around. Just go run around and do shit, Andre, right? Just go do shit. Some of it's going to be good. Some of it's going to be bad.
Right, but let him go.
Just go do something. Go.
And yell at him if he doesn't take three threes.
And one last thing.
Yell at him.
The tech that he got against Arkansas, I love that. You know why? Because you want him playing on that edge. And sometimes when you play on that edge, you're going to go on the wrong side of it. As long as he realizes, like, okay, that was a moment. That can't happen again. But, like, you want him playing with that edge. It's a game changer for him.
Kind of like the way you played at the tables last night.
Yeah, it was not good. I was on the wrong side of the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the wrong side.
Jump off the edge.
Yeah. Yes.
Taking him through craps was not good.
Oh, my goodness.
Bad rollers.
Bad. I mean, he's killing us.
The whole weekend at Circa's been great, except for that 15 minutes of
craps. Dawson's got bad juju at the craps table.
Wasn't me. It was the guy on his first roll that threw the dice and hit somebody in the face.
Who was that, Vanna? Who was that?
So I did. I knocked somebody in the face.
Did you?
On the first roll. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It was
I flicked it. Yeah,
it was uncoordinated.
It was like a 50 cent first pitch. You ever seen that video?
Yeah.
We're just getting started with you here on the Field of 68 Elite 8 pregame show. Now, a word from Underdog Fantasy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play college basketball pick'em, where you can get a little extra sweat during March Madness and win real cash prizes simply by picking player stats in this weekend's games. In pick'em, all you do is predict whether a player will go higher or lower on Underdog's projected totals, whether that's points, rebounds, whatever. For example, if you're like me and you think Zach Edey is going to go nuts in this tournament, pick higher on his points projection, add up to four more picks, and if you hit them all, you can win 20 times your money on a single game. Underdog's slick mobile app is easy enough that dummies like Jeff Goodman have even figured it out. So go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app and use the code FIELD, F-I-E-L-D, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Now is the time to get in on the madness. So remember, underdogfantasy.com, promo code FIELD.
Welcome you back to the Field of 68's Elite 8 Saturday pregame show. We are presented, as always, by Bet Rivers, Underdog Fantasy as well. We're live from Circa at Stadium Swim. It is a gorgeous day outside. No better place to watch these games, folks, because it is unbelievable how bright the sun is and how there's no glare on these screens.
Zero.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, what they've done here is at the highest level. I've been to almost every casino in Vegas at some point or another. This blows them all away. It has everything. It is everything you could possibly want. You never have to leave Circa. Especially if you're a true sports fan, come here for any and every game when you're in Vegas. I can't wait, honestly, to come back.
All right, let's talk about Cinderella in New York City tonight, because we've talked a lot about Connecticut, we talked a lot about Gonzaga, we talked a lot about Marquise Noel. But to the person that's tuning in tonight and saying, honey, FAU is 34-3. They're 34-3 out of Conference USA. This is unbelievable for a program that had just made the NCAA tournament one time before this. Jeff, how has Dusty May done it in Boca Raton?
Yeah, and he's done it in arguably one of the worst jobs in Conference USA. Obviously, they got the beach to recruit to, but not much else. You know, bad budget, facilities need a major upgrade, but retention has been huge. You know, I talked to couple of their guys earlier this year.
Retention.
Right?
That's such a hard... Yeah.
It is hard to do. You know, it's interesting because they were pretty good last year, but not good enough that everybody went after him in the portal. So he was able to keep them for another year, and then he added a couple guys, obviously a point guard and a big, through the portal. But for the most part, that group has stayed together, grown together, and they are tough MFers. That's what they are.
I think the most impressive thing to me is how deep they are and the fact that everybody kind of accepts their role. And we see a little bit with UConn, too, where they have guys, like some of their leading scorers come off the bench, right? They're not sitting here. You don't have guys complaining about minutes. You don't have guys complaining about starts. You don't have guys complaining about playing time. They're bought in. They know their role. They know what job they have to do. And they just go out and they do it. That, you need that. That matters. That's important.
Yeah, they don't have a dude. They don't have a dude. They just got a bunch of guys that can play.
Jonell Davis is kind of a dude.
I was about to get to that. Like, but here's the thing. He had that great performance against Fairleigh Dickinson. He was good against Tennessee. But when your best player is your hardest playing player, that helps things. And it brings everybody else up around you. He's certainly been that. I kind of want to write him off because it's just too much of a fairy tale for Marquise Noel. But at the same time, it's like, man, it's just a bunch of hard-playing guys that have been together for so long. It just makes sense that they continue to play.
I'm sorry to interrupt everything. On Instagram just now, the account Marcopi Monty, okay? I don't know who it is.
Why are you?
I know, listen. All right. They put up, I'm taking FAU plus 1.5 and money line plus 110. The public loves Kansas State, and frankly, I do too, but I'll take the dog. On Instagram, Mr. New York City replied to that on Instagram and said, you're going to lose your effing money.
This is the interesting part about Noel, and he's got the edge that Doster thinks he has. But Noel can really, really get after, right?
That was a stray. That was a stray.
What was that?
Never. Anyway.
Well, wait, but you said he was right then. You said he has the, what
no,
do you say?
Noel has the edge that Doster thinks he has. Is what
oh,
I said.
Oh, that Doster thinks
yes,
he has.
Yes, yes. Anyway, Noel's New York City tough, right? Undersized. I still see him over there. He's steaming. Steam coming out of his ears.
Cool,
but
me?
This is a kid who went to Little Rock to start his career. Nobody wanted him because, again, small, bounced around different high schools, different AAU programs. Darryl Walker gets him. Former NBA point guard. And he told me, he's like, listen, he was tough to coach early. He fought me on everything. He wanted to score all the time. And then finally he gave him the ball and let him go. And Noel put up numbers. He suspended him his junior year. And then he transferred out to a higher level. And again, like, he's matured in terms of his ability to make people better. In terms of his ability to read when to score, when to get his teammates involved. Darryl Walker helped him a ton in that regard because he held him accountable.
It's his passing for me. He makes everybody on that team better. I mean, they basically have two dudes, right? That's
yes.
what Kansas State has. And they have a bunch of guys that Noel and Keontae Johnson, to a point, set up. And they can they can finish off plays, whether it's Swish Masood knocking down threes, whether it's Desi Sills is like a complimentary piece. Chico, like, there's good pieces.
Mr. Tomlin, who we love.
Yeah, Naquan Tomlin. There's good pieces on that roster, but that it doesn't work if Marquise Noel cannot distribute. And he gets so much attention. Like, you talked about it the other day, T.O., when Kentucky was guarding him. It's so hard to contain him. You have to have your entire defense focused on him because he's just so damn fast. He's so fast.
The thing that helps everything is that he scores it so well, too, at 5'6 or 5'7, whatever he is. But think about, you have a guy that's wired to score in Keontae Johnson. How much better of a rhythm is he going to be in if he gets three of them just handed to him?
Right.
Like,
sure.
Think about that. Like,
you feel better about yourself, right?
Right away. He's feeling good about it right away. Then they've got some other guys that just kind of fill needs and fill spaces. Ismail Masood, he's been the same guy since he was at Wake Forest. But
now he's making shots.
He's making shots. There's not really
and they're wide open.
And he has guys getting to him.
Uncontested shots.
Exactly right.
That's the difference is when you got a guy like that to be able to get in the seams, you have to help. There's no choice. Yep. The other thing Walker said that I thought was really interesting, when he got him, he didn't want to guard at all, and he said, you're 5'7". You got to pick dudes up. You got to get after them because once they get into the half court, you're a liability defensively. You don't have to be a liability. We saw that, obviously, what he did against Tyson Walker at the end of the game.
Yeah. You said it a few moments ago. To follow up on FAU, you talked about Jonell Davis and that he's been that dude. I mean, how much today does he have to have that 20-plus point game for the Owls to pull this off?
Here's the thing. I don't know that he does. That's the thing about this team. And this isn't a fluke.
They got balance.
Yeah, they have balance. This isn't a fluke. This is a top 30 team offensively and defensively in KenPom. This isn't something where they're just getting hot at the right time.
Do you think they can win?
They can win.
Well, are you picking them to win?
No, I'm not, but they can.
Right. I would agree with that.
I think that point-and-a-half spread, that's what it is right now, I believe. That's –
that's right there at it. I mean, these are two very similar teams as far as efficiency concerns, both offensively and defensively. It's going to be close. I just feel like at the end of games, I feel like I'm hitting repeat, but you got to have somebody that can make something happen. Marquise Noel, Keontae Johnson, they've got two of them.
Yes. You cannot pick against Mr. New York City.
You can't right now.
Playing in the Garden. You just cannot do it.
No.
Coming off the performance that he had.
You worry about a little bit is the injury. A little bit. I think he'll be fine. Obviously, yeah. He showed that the other night.
He told someone they're going to lose their money.
Yeah,
like, no, he's fine.
He said he's 90% the other day. Like,
this dude's an MF at the highest level.
He'll load up on some painkillers. Like, he's going to be fine.
Tell me this. What has Jerome Tang, in his first head coaching opportunity, his first year as a head coach, what does this say to, or what should it say to every AD administration at another institution that's looking at, do I hire the acting head coach or do I hire the guy that, I mean, how long did Jerome Tang deserve this job? And now he's showing in his first year.
I mean, Goodman can answer this a little bit better, but he had opportunities to take jobs in the past, correct? Yeah, he had opportunities to take them. He waited for the right one. This was the right job. But I think what it does say is, you can feel free to, like, take a swing on a dude that you believe in, right? If he comes from a good staff, if he has worked on winning programs, right? If you interview him and you're like, wow, that guy gets it, take a chance. Like, you don't have to go out and get the retread. You can take a swing. And sometimes it's going to be a whiff. But sometimes you're going to hit a home run. They did with Jerome Tang. To the point where, like, we got to have a conversation about how long he's going to end up being at Kansas State, right? Because if I'm Texas, right? One, I think Rodney Terry should get the job. But two, if I'm Texas, what I'm doing is I'm getting in that Brinks truck that I have, right, in the athletic department. I'm driving it all the way up to Jerome Tang's house in Manhattan, Kansas.
No.
I'm backing it up, and I'm opening the back.
No.
What are you doing?
No, which man, one? I disagree with that.
Which one are you going to do?
You're going to
hire Rodney Terry or back up the Brinks truck? Which one? You got to do one.
If I am Texas, I am going to go try to get Jerome Tang.
I just don't think you can.
Within the league. I hate that.
Here's what I'll say is, I think Jerome Tang is the better coach for the long term. But I think you have to give Rodney Terry the job for the short term.
Yes.
T.O., is that not a punch? That's a punch in the balls if you go ahead and say, well, you know, we're going to hire Jerome Tang off of 1 year at Kansas State. We're not going to reward the guy from within. Come on, man. From within the league?
I just feel like when there's a special person with a special opportunity and you can get that guy. Rodney Terry's been a head coach before, John. He has been. He has a track record. He has done a phenomenal job this year. But I think the people at Texas, they would be remiss not to go and talk to Jerome Tang if they could.
Again, Chris Del Conte does not want to hire Rodney Terry. He would have already done
it. He made that very, very clear by his actions.
Right.
Made it very clear.
I think Del Conte obviously is waiting. But if Rodney Terry gets to the Final Four, there's no choice in the matter. He has no choice. The only way he doesn't hire Rodney Terry now, to me, is if you can get a big, big boy. Scott Drew, which isn't going to happen. Kelvin Sampson, which isn't going to happen.
John Calipari,
which isn't going to happen. So I think at this point, you wait, you see, that's what Del Conte's doing, see how it plays out, and then we'll see if you even have a decision to make.
You know,
probably not going to have one.
Is there any part, I mean, I could be wrong. Wouldn't you wake up one morning if you're Rodney Terry and say, you know what, screw this.
Absolutely.
Clearly they don't want me.
Where are you going to go? No, you're not going to do that. Where are you going to go? You've had chances before. It's not like Cal's going to say, hey, we got to have Rodney Terry. Like T.O. said.
No, this is what you do if you're Rodney Terry. Those guys love him. The players in that locker room adore him. You go to them and you say, those motherfuckers up there, my bosses, they don't want me to have the job, right? And you tell them that if you
win
want
the
me
national
to get the
title,
job, they don't want us to win. They
you know
don't
the
want
problem
us
is,
there.
There's no guarantee all those guys come back. I mean, Marcus Carr's been in for
matter.
8 years.
But they already love him. We saw the reaction
They
won their game against Penn State. You saw the reaction after they won the Big 12 tournament. So what you have to do if you're Rodney Terry is get these guys, it's that siege mentality. They don't want us to win. They don't want me to get the job. They hate us. They don't believe in us. And then you got those guys fighting for you, so it's more than just a basketball game to them. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm doing if Rodney
walked in. He also walked in. Guys, he walked into a ready-made situation.
Right. Totally. Yes, yes, right. Yes, yes.
Let's not be naive.
Right.
Those players
I'm
had
not
the whole
being naive.
Stuff.
Not specifically you.
Oh, no.
But, like,
he's done a great job managing.
He has.
Great job.
But he had beards. He had beards entire summer.
Culture.
Entire fall. All that stuff was falling into place. All those things that are really important in the offseason were handled by somebody else. He walked into a team with older guys that know how to play, that have been there for mostly 2 years. Mostly everybody had been there for 2 years, outside of Tyrese Hunter, who knows his role. Yeah, so I'm not saying he hasn't done a terrific job. He's absolutely done
a
terrific job.
How many teams are more talented? How many rosters would you take over Texas's in the entire country this year? About how many?
Maybe like
three?
Maybe like four or five. That's it. That's it.
So Rodney Terry, again, has done a great job writing the ship.
Oh, I got a good question for you.
That it didn't go off the rails, but again, he's had all the pieces in place to do it.
I have a great question for you, because that question sprung it. Before the year, if I said, would you rather have Texas's roster or Carolina's roster?
I mean, most people would have picked Carolina's. It's why we ranked them in the top, you know, two. Oh,
first, one.
Top one. Most people ranked them one. I mean.
You want to know what the difference is? Here's the difference between those two rosters.
Go ahead.
We thought Marcus Carr was a losing player, and he got significantly better. He's like, we should have had him in the All-American. You had him as an All-American, right?
Third team.
Yeah, he had an All-American caliber season. Caleb Love, we thought was a losing player and showed his true colors and get better this year. That, to me, that's the difference between Texas
and
North Carolina.
Because we had them in the same equation probably a year and a half ago, right? It was Marcus Carr, Caleb Love, like they're kind of similar players, right? Chuckers, Marcus Carr playing next to Tyrese Hunter has gotten so much better where, honestly, Caleb Love regressed playing next to R.J. Davis.
Did he really regress or did they just revert back to the mean of what they were in last January?
Yeah, I mean, he had fewer.
Their problems this year were the same as last year.
He had fewer games, obviously, like what he had last March.
Yep.
He didn't have those when they needed him.
He didn't have all that many last year during the regular season either.
True.
All right, are we all on Kansas State tonight? I'm not going against Noel. I can't do it.
Yeah, me too. I'm in on K-State, but man, I hope it's a great game. Dusty May, man. It's too bad there's not a job out there, really, for Dusty May right now. But as he told me a couple months ago, I love it here. My wife loves it here. My family loves it here. At that point, everybody thought he was going to Ole Miss. That was before the Chris Beard thing. And he was like, I'm not going to Ole Miss. Trust me, I'm not going. As long as they step up here and give me resources now, I love it here. But, again, Dusty will stay hot.
He's got to be able to bring these guys back. That's going to be the big question to me because you know the big boys, the blue bloods, the deep-pocketed NIL teams, they're coming after those dudes. They're coming after those players. So is FAU going to be able to step up and keep them in the offseason?
So how many of them do they lose?
I don't even want to think about it yet.
Like three.
Because you still, like, they could make a Final Four.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and then at that point you say, what else could I do at FAU if I make the Final Four? I'm just being honest.
I know.
That's a magical run.
You're probably right. You're probably right at that point. Or you say, hey, listen, look at what we did at FAU.
They're going to be in the American next year, right? FAU?
What's that?
They're going to the American next year?
Yes.
Yeah. So you get that bump up in league. You're going to be on
the U.
I don't know about that.
Not much.
Well, what channel is Conference USA games on?
CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Network.
What channel is American Athletic Conference games on?
ESPN.
Thursday night, big ESPN. Yeah, and FAU coming off of an Elite Eight Final Four run.
But don't you get Hummel doing the American games?
You will.
Right. So who's going to have those?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you it's not that good.
Robbie, I had your back, man. I had your back. When you're ready to do the Doster and Hummel podcast, I'm right here.
Who would listen to that?
Wow. He's ready to trade you guys out?
Yeah, Terrence, we're out. It. So what is
I'll
it?
I'll just add another one to the roster.
I can't hear shit anyway. Yeah.
I have no idea what T.O. said this entire show.
Yes.
I have no clue.
It's very difficult.
So it's FTG, I guess, if you join our podcast.
FTG?
Or GTF or something. I don't know. It's not DTF. I know that much.
No?
No.
I'm still lost.
Okay. Let's focus in on Connecticut and Gonzaga. So this morning I wake up. My phone rings. It's Jim Calhoun. Coach is here in Vegas.
Are you He was supposed to come on.
I'm going to get him out in front of the arena. He's going to call. All right. So he says, hey, I got a story for you. I said, okay. He's always got stories.
Always.
He told me this morning that Donovan Klingon's mother, Stacy, who Donovan lost, unfortunately, to cancer, Stacy went to Bristol Central. Stacy's teammate at Bristol Central was Cookie, real name Lourdes, Julian Strother's mother.
What?
Julian Strother's late mother. Julian also lost his mother to cancer.
They played together?
They were high school teammates at Bristol Central.
Oh, my God. That's
and
crazy.
Today, Julian meets Donovan Klingon, first spot in the Final Four. Both lost their mothers to cancer and went to the same high school. I mean, but they both play for their moms. If that's not March Madness,
that's sad.
It is sad, but it's also like the small world part of this, the inspirational, and you know, I think Estrada, he became a Gonzaga legend the other night, guys. That shot joins Jalen Suggs. I can't believe they were high school kids.
Can we find a way? This is what we have to do. We have to bribe the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to every year make sure we get a Gonzaga-UCLA game. Because they are always classics. Right. The Adam Morrison game in 2006. The Jalen Suggs game
in 2021.
Well, how
about a home and home? Well, Cronin and Few?
Well, yeah. Let's do it. Come on.
I mean,
should. Mick, Mark, get it done, man.
Put it here.
Get it done.
We'll
put
broadcast
it on the field
live
of 68 Media Network.
Derek would just build a court right here. Right? I mean, he would. If you told him, hey, you can get UCLA Gonzaga, Derek would find a way to put a court behind us.
I'm going to ask you this, Mr. Strategy. You're gonna take me in. I know that we're all talking about UConn, but if you were Mark Few and you were at the whiteboard, Terrence Oglesby, what are the two or three things that you are pinpointing there saying, fellas, we've got to do this to win this game?
We better screen our ass off. You better screen like crazy, because I'm not sure you really have anybody that can really create like you need to against this UConn team filled with ample length. And screen to score. That's my biggest thing. Whenever you play against big athletes that are bigger than you are, Gonzaga has some guys with good length, but at the same time, it's not on UConn's level. Embrace or not match their physicality, exceed their physicality would be the only thing I would say. Because like you have to really throw your body at them, because you're going to be in trouble if you don't.
Yeah,
They got a guard.
That's exactly what I was going to. You got to play defense for 30 seconds. Because what UConn's going to do, if they don't get something in transition, they're going to run a set. And you know that set's going to have like 27 screens. You're going to have Jordan Hawkins sprinting in circles around the court. You have Tristan Newton doing the same thing. You're going to have to guard hard for 30 seconds, chasing dudes around screens like you've never chased them around screens before. That's what they're going to have to do. If they can defend UConn and make it hard for them to run offense, that's when Gonzaga has a chance.
I don't think Gonzaga is tough enough, other than Drew Timmy. I just watch him, and I'm like, who are those tough dudes? Like, who do you trust? I love Nolan Hickman. Is the sweetest kid ever, but he's still got a ways to go. Like, Hunter Salas, you have no idea what you're going to get from game to game with him. Yeah. Obviously, he's athletic enough to play in this game. Strother, he's kind of an enigma, right? Malachi Smith, he went to Gonzaga for a reason, so he could play in the WCC and not be overwhelmed athletically. I go through it. I'm like, how? How can they win this game?
Well, they can win it because Drew Timmy can be God. I mean, Drew Timmy.
They can win it if UConn gets away from what they've done and settles and doesn't make shots.
Well, that's the only way.
That's the only way. All you got to do is feed those bigs. Keep feeding those bigs. Who's going to stop them?
They can win it if two things happen. If one, Timmy gets Sonogo in some foul trouble early in the game.
Sure.
And two, if Strother can win the head-to-head over Jackson, Jackson gets a little bit rattled, and he's not Andre effing Jackson. The other thing is, Connecticut is a team, as great as they are, is actually as rough as they can be on the other side. We just haven't seen that version of them in quite some time. They got it rolling. But if Hawkins is missing, he's been making for a while. If he has an off game, that's the only area where I get concerned, because they're a very infectious team. When one guy plays well, it's like everybody else clicks off that. They are a team sometimes when perimeter shots are not falling, it could turn into a 3-for-21 game, and you're like, how did the hell did that happen? Sometimes that's just basketball.
Yeah, my biggest concern if I'm UConn is Tristan Newton. He's got to be the guy, right? Like, that is my concern, because when you when he settles, when he's not able to get them into offense, you can climb up under him, right? And I don't know if it's Salas, I don't know if it's Malachi Smith, but if you climb up under him and make it so that he has to run offense from 35 feet instead of 25 feet, that's when things can kind of get difficult. Tristan Newton's got to be the guy. Arkansas tried to do it, and it worked.
And they're a better defensive team than Gonzaga.
What happened was it worked two different times. And both those possessions, Tristan Newton ended up hitting a 28-foot three. And those were the two possessions completely changed the game. UConn went up 11 instead of having two potential turnovers.
They're hard to guard with Klingon in the game, too.
Oh, my gosh.
When they play ball screen with Klingon. He's so big.
I feel like he just got a score.
And he moves well.
They haven't had many low-scoring losses.
No.
They've all been high-scoring losses.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you score against UConn, that's the whole thing. Because then you're slower
down. Do you really think Gonzaga can score with them?
Best offense in the country.
They have... Yeah.
In the WCC.
No, they're the number one offense in the country.
I know, but they play in the WCC for 20 games. 16 games, whatever it is. I don't know. I just don't know if they can keep up with UConn. I don't think they can.
I don't think they defend well enough, but I think that can be disguised by if you're scoring the basketball on the other side, you can at least set your defense.
I do think that you want to be on the over in this game. I do think we're going to see this game in the 80s.
Yeah, it'll be high scoring.
UConn will run, and Gonzaga wants to run. I think you're going to see a high-scoring game. My question is, if you're UConn, if you're Hurley, do you try to slow this down, T.O.? Do you try to make it be like a 65-70 possession game or no?
For Gonzaga?
If you're Dan Hurley, if you're UConn.
No.
Don't get away from what you've been doing.
No. I mean, you feed the post, but you run when you can run. I mean, to me, you go when you can go because you're more athletic in almost every position.
Do you remember when UConn was – I mean, I hate to bring up bad memories, but when they were struggling in January – Hurley got to the point, he stepped to the podium after the Creighton game, he goes, "We're so bad in our man defense right now, I had to go zone." So that's just it. Like, Alex Caravan said this yesterday in the media availability, he goes, "Look, if we defend to the level we're capable of, we will be in Houston next weekend." It's UConn's got a great offense. The reason why they've also gone on their run is they're guarding teams. They are guarding.
Yeah.
Right, Tio?
Yeah. Like I said, if you can score against UConn, that's when you're going to have the best opportunity. Because I just don't feel like – I don't think you can hold them to that many points. You got to go shot for shot with them.
Here's another issue with Gonzaga offensively. Where you attack UConn, generally speaking, Alex Caravan. You either need to attack Tristan Luton or Alex Caravan. They don't really have that four. And if you want to play Strother at the four and make Caravan guard him, then all
you're
of a sudden,
gonna die
the
on
best
the other
offensive
end.
Rebounding team in the country is going to have Drew Timmy and a bunch of guards, right? You're not – UConn got like 14 of their 25-minute shots against Arkansas. It was insane. They couldn't get any stops. They couldn't end a possession.
So I do want to ask this question. The other day when we first started the week,
I would start Strother at the four.
What's that?
You would start Strother at the four. Okay. If they're going to start Caravan, start Strother at the four.
I think Jackson's going to defend him.
Maybe so, but at least he'll be able to not rest. But on the other end, Caravan, he's not going to blow by you like crazy.
All right, so
they
for
got
the
versatility, that's the thing. They can throw a bunch of dudes at Strother if they want it.
Yeah.
So for the Arkansas game, Rob Doster said that at that point, Connecticut was playing with house money.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So what's today?
It's like UConn became a poverty program or something. Yeah, like what happened?
What's crazy is that UConn is now the favorite to win the national title.
So are they so playing with house money today?
They're the favorite to win it. House money. Again.
Honestly, they are.
But if they're favored, is this playing with house money?
It's changed, and now it's like, oh shit! If Hurley doesn't do this,
well, it is kind of interesting. Now you've gone from kind of a team that was the hunter to now the hunted a little bit. Not today as much because you're still playing a big boy program.
And they're playing
Gonzaga.
A road game today. Let's call it what it is. They're going to play a road game
today.
What does today represent for Dan Hurley? And what does today represent for UConn as the brand?
Man, everything. It represents that they're back as a legitimate national contender. They haven't been there since Kevin Ollie won the national title, and then they went like this.
They weren't even there when Ollie won,
well,
man. They were a 7
seed. They got lucky.
They were a 7 seed, and Shabazz Napier went supernova.
Right. Right, and then, again, they just did a complete downturn and became kind of irrelevant for a while, and you know, you need momentum as much as anything. And Dan Hurley, he's relentless. Like, that's the one thing with Hurley. He's going to work his ass off. His staff works his ass off. And I think with this, then you become, okay, you're UConn again. You can start getting dudes.
Yes. The thing that's fascinating about this to me for Hurley is, I mean, you guys know him well. There's a level of, he's a younger brother of Bobby Hurley. Like, Bobby Hurley was the best high school player in America, McDonald's All-American,
yep.
Goes to Duke, wins 2 national championships,
yep, right.
Number 7 draft pick, plays in the NBA, and then Danny Hurley comes along and, oh, he's just like a good Big East player, right? There's something to be said about that. The fact that he's always kind of been in the shadow of Bobby, in the shadow of his dad. And now he has a chance to cement his legacy as the coach of the Hurley family. I think that right there, I do expect to see Hurley get emotional if they win tonight.
Oh, no question about that.
I think that's part of it.
He said he cried like 4 times before the game the other night. So, he's an emotional dude. He's fiery, and you're right. Like, he's been in the shadow of his father and his brother, and it's kind of cool to watch. I mean, it's a guy who's at St. Benedict's Prep School, and I never thought he'd leave. He had opportunities. Finally took the job at Wagner, a bad job. Brought his brother Bobby with him as an assistant. They go to Rhode Island, a decent job, and win there. Again, relentless, always got a chip on his shoulder because he feels like he's got something to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing more than anything, UConn is the team in the northeastern part of the United States. They are that team. They are the team in the northeastern part of this country, and they're going to have immediate access from here on out to whatever kid they want.
When you were getting recruited, like when you were in your high school days, how did you view UConn?
Tough guards. Who all was in my class? I can't remember who I was in. It's 2007. That wasn't Kimba.
Who was it before
I can't remember.
Kimba?
It's neither here nor there. I remember the toughness of UConn players. That was the big thing. I remember a lot of the guys they got from up in the northeastern part of the country, hard-nosed dudes that were going to play extremely hard. And that's when
Biggs Jeff Adrian.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Those type of dudes. Calhoun wanted them.
Emeka Okafor.
Right. Calhoun wanted wings, elite-level wings, and tough dudes. And Hurley's
and
got some of Calhoun.
What?
He never recruited me.
You didn't get recruited by him? How many schools recruited you?
Like how many he offered me?
Yeah.
50 or 60.
Isn't that crazy? 50 or 60.
Yeah.
And you take like the Northeast out of the equation because you're obviously not gonna you're not gonna recruit him. You bring him to the Northeast.
Because if he started talking
him.
In practice,
that's the problem. They would have been like, "Hey, you need to communicate," and they would have just been like, "Don't worry about it." Terrence, you can be quiet. Everybody else.
My favorite thing is when T.O. shows up and everyone's like, "Who the hell is this guy? Like, what does he know about basketball?" And like, I played at Clemson, and everyone's like, "Oh, what were you, a walk on?"
Yeah, I was asked several times if I played tennis, golf. As soon as I got on campus, you don't really realize how big people are until you walk on campus and the volleyball team walks in right beside you, and every woman on that team.
What did you weigh as a freshman?
$170
That's actually more than I thought you weighed.
Yeah, I was strong, but $170, and by the time I left, I was $185.
Wow.
So 60,
you were the big man on campus.
Yeah, in my mind, that was about it.
Hey, it's time for us to tell you about our friends at Vaulted. You guys ever get tired of trying to prove that you won an argument, that your takes weren't hot, they were actually right? Well, I got an answer to your problems. Vaulted is a new sports prediction app that turns your opinions into facts. You can store all of your predictions and hot takes in your own vault now and forever. Challenge your friends, keep track of the results, and prove you are, in fact, the smartest. Vaulted will also be releasing more than 50 pools in the next 3 months, so download the app at the link below, sign up for your 3-month trial, and store your predictions now and forever. Before we get to the rest of the Elite Eight, our preliminary thoughts on tomorrow, just like they do in the NBA playoffs when they say, here's your upcoming... Oh,
I just got a text message from one of my former Clemson people. You were the big man on campus. I don't want to hear it.
Oh,
shout out Nelson. Thank you, Nelson.
So much.
Yeah, of course. Unbelievable. You were the big man. Yeah, yeah. Tell your wife we said hello.
Yeah, right.
What were you last
worry,
night?
Wait, hold on. The big man on campus. Don't let them make fun of you, baby.
If you were the big man on campus back then.
You would have shown up yesterday.
Dude, I couldn't.
Who were you to this hotel last night?
I was the guy that was hanging on by a thread up in the room.
What happened in your room?
Huh?
What happened in your room?
I was asleep all day. What are you asking?
Did you thumbs up our show?
I think I did. They better like that. They better hit that thumbs up button.
For, do it for T.O.
Pepto-Bismol?
A lot of Pepto.
Was it Pepto?
Yes.
Dick Vitale?
Yeah. Me, Dick Vitale, and then Dagan and Rob ran me some medicine, too, that didn't start working until this morning.
Like they do in the NBA playoffs when they say, here's your upcoming schedule. Tell us what the upcoming Field of 68 schedule is.
We will be live from the arena tonight. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we're doing a pregame show for the second Elite Eight games. Postgame show from somewhere in Circa. I'm not sure exactly where yet. Pregame show here tomorrow. Then we're heading home and then heading to Houston. We have 11 shows in Houston. We will be at Little Woodrow's Wednesday night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central. 12 to noon to 2 on Thursday, noon to 2 on Friday. Then we'll be at the Bayou Music House with the for the Intersport party, with the 3-point shooting competition, with the dunk contest that this doofus is going to be judging.
He's judging it.
He's judging a dunk contest. What do you know about dunks?
Judging a dunk contest.
That was supposed to be a secret.
Yeah, we just.
See? You asked me to keep a secret.
What? I didn't do it.
Not you.
What?
Look at him.
It was supposed to be a secret, man.
You're judging the dunk contest?
Yeah. Whoops, sorry. My sources told me that. Never mind.
So the point
is. That dunk sucks. That dunk
negative.
Sucks.
The chorus of boos that would rain down. They should introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Goldblum.
What's going to happen is he's not going to have like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's just going to say so damn good or so damn good in all sucks. Caps. And that's what his ranking is.
You shouldn't. I was going to say so. I'm not saying it. It's for bad dunks. Says, just put
he
up a
just
thing.
Gets it. He just gets it.
You should do, instead of number scoring, for your numbers, do different talent in the industry. 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not going to name any, but I'm just.
So what would.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm not.
Kevin Negandhi would be a 10.
Ben Pelt, Negandhi, 10.
Ben Pelt, 10. Stanford, yep. Steve.
10.
11. Maybe 11.
11, yeah. Cause
so, no, you said, why am I laughing? I'm laughing because you said 11 shows. So how many hours are we spending together next week?
Too many.
Yeah, there will be 14 hours before the games. It'll be about 20 hours.
I can't tell everyone there.
20 hours of
hiatus
content.
From him after this. You go home, right?
No, I've already blocked your number in my phone preemptively, so I don't have to talk to you. Because you don't you only show what people don't realize. Kevin shows up for the shows and then he's gone. We never see him everywhere.
What's that? You never
That's
see
not
him?
True.
Never see you.
What did he show me all night? You were the reason I got my ass kicked in the craps table last night.
I was not.
I think it was Fantas. He was the reason because he hit somebody in the face with a
dime. Let me tell you something right now. None of this is on me. Last night's show, the ending of that show, not on me. It's on the producer of the show. I greatly missed you last night. You would have stepped in and taken the charge and said, we can't go down. Yeah, I think he would have.
I'm the voice of reason.
Let's get to tomorrow. So Creighton, San Diego State. Creighton, San Diego State. You have a couple of things here. Number one, they played last year In the first round against the NCAA tournament, San Diego State in the game one, they choked. All right, that's number one. Number two, both programs were in Maui. They flew together to Hawaii in November.
Wow, they flew together?
They flew together.
Really?
Yes, they flew together. Creighton and San Diego State flew together on the same flight.
Where do you get this?
Yeah, yes, yes. Wow. That's number two. Okay. Number three, Arthur Kaluma and Adam Seiko are brothers. They're brothers. This is like a very weird tournament rematch between these two programs.
Kaluma and who?
Kaluma and Seiko are brothers.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Insane.
Tomorrow, and there's bad blood from last year.
There is some bad blood.
Who's going to win this game?
Creighton. I think Creighton. I just think, like, San Diego State's a great story, what they've been able to do to get to the Elite Eight for the first time in program history, but they don't have as much. So, like, to me, they're almost like not a poor man's Creighton, because Creighton doesn't defend quite as well. They're not quite as tough, but they just don't have as many high-level weapons as Creighton does.
Creighton's you're right. They're like the same team, but Creighton's dudes are kind of like
they're better,
all-American caliber, borderline NBA dudes.
What San Diego State's are a lot of mid-major transfers.
Yes,
that's what they are. Mid-major guys.
I mean, you got guys coming up from Seattle. Yeah. You have Matt Bradley transfer from Cal, mid-major transfer.
Right. We're like Creighton. Now again, give McDermott credit and his staff, because they've identified and developed dudes. What?
I just called Cal a mid-major, and you just flew right past it. Yeah, like, good. I didn't even say anything.
Very true. Very
well,
true.
Honestly, when we're on for how many hours in Houston? 25 hours? Or, I don't know. In and around? We are spending at least a half hour on the state of Kentucky basketball, just to have fun with it.
At some point.
That's happening.
That. We will do that.
Yep. Who do you think? Here's the thing. Like, San Diego State just beat the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Can't San Diego State win?
Well, the thing is, San Diego State, you keep doubting them, and they keep defending and beating everybody up. Like, they're so big and so strong and so physical.
It would just be a crazy story if they could make a Final Four.
Why not?
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
I know. I get it. You just look at them, and you're like, how? Like, these dudes are like, they're okay. They don't have a guy.
They are grown-ass men.
But at every position, whatever San Diego State has, Creighton's got a better one of that, right? They've got a better one.
They don't have
Creighton
as many.
They don't have depth.
They don't have as many.
They don't have that. You're right. That's the one area that's it. But depth is kind of overrated unless you get in foul trouble.
I just think to myself, like, against Furman, Micah Parrish has the big game.
Yep.
Yesterday, Darian Trammell has the big game. Like, kind of like some of these other teams we're talking about, you don't need to have one dude. Last year, it had to be Matt Bradley. San Diego State was an abysmal offensive team last year. Ryan
Ducker. They're still not great this year.
They're not great this year, but they, you said it. They just fight you. I was thinking yesterday, as they're up on Alabama, you can't tell me Bob Ritchie, a star on the field of 68's first ever game broadcast of the Greenville Winter Invitational, that Bob Ritchie wasn't thinking, watching the game, damn, I mean, now I don't feel as bad about the fact that we lost, but the way that we did, because they punked them. Man. They punked Alabama.
Yeah, and if you punk Alabama, you can punk pretty much anybody. Alabama's big now. Outside of those two guards, it's a big bunch
of
dudes.
Right.
So, like, for them to be able to do that, they're just grown-ass men. They have a lot of them. That's the thing. Like, can you stop Creighton from scoring? I'm not sure. That's the hard part, but they have a lot of guys.
I just think Creighton's too good. And the reason why Alabama lost is because Brandon Miller had, like, an outlier bad game. How often is Brandon Miller going to go 3-for-19?
How often is Brandon Miller
going to go three for 19?
1-for-10 from three. He's had a couple bad games.
He was bad all three games of the tournament.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why they lost, because Brandon Miller was just terrible. Jarron Quinterly was asked to do too much. He's trying to get to the rim, finish over the best defensive center that's left in this tournament. And
you know what? You keep going back to it. Like, young teams don't generally win these days in the tournament. They just don't. And when you have four of your top eight guys that are freshmen, it's not usually a recipe for success.
When you were in your hotel room yesterday, when you were able to watch.
What much?
Well, I guess you were embodying what the remaining one seeds, one seeds were doing.
In our bathrooms?
Yeah, in the suites, we actually have a TV in the bathroom. So you could have, if you really wanted to.
I don't have a TV in my bathroom.
If you were a grinder, you could have watched it.
If you were a grinder, you would have watched the game.
He doesn't have a suite. He's got a double bed.
If I was a grinder, I would have watched it while I was on the
while you were floor. While you're sitting there hugging the
table. Well, you were doing a direct act of the one seeds that were left in this tournament.
Well, basically, just spouting out of both ends.
Were you more surprised, like, as you were watching, were you more surprised at Alabama losing, or were you surprised at the way Houston lost to Miami?
I,
That was, I was hoping we would get to the Miami because Norchad Omier, who only had 13 rebounds,
wow,
he must have had 25 tap outs, rebounds combined. Like he, they said, well, you said he held up against Houston. He beat the shit out of Houston.
Wow.
He didn't just, he controlled the game. You have to have shot makers, sure. Norchad Omier controlled that game yesterday.
Hey, ACC
awesome.
Still represented,
it's,
right?
It's honestly amazing that a 6'6" dude has been the most impressive big guy, like one of the most impressive big guys in the
incredibly tournament. Strong.
He dominates the paint. It's 6'6".
Dominates.
Look, I don't even think he's actually 6'6".
Like no, he is. He's
you
6'6".
See him next to some of those dudes.
He's 6'6". I actually walked next to him in Albany. He's 6'6". He's not bigger than that, but he's 6'6".
He is.
You don't buy it.
Well, he's...
He walked next to the guy.
Yeah, I know. Just Goodman walks next to people, that's when you know. Right? How many coaches do you know?
350?
361? Well,
I
David
know.
Knows 247.
All right, here's a question for you.
It's about 103
Goodman.
Shy.
David.
Goodman, of all the coaches that you know, who's the hardest one for you to get on the phone?
Hardest one. Jerry Stackhouse.
All right. Tell me about Miami, what you saw from them in the ACC that's allowed them to get to this point. And how's Jim Larrañaga doing it at 73?
That's something that's not talked about enough, though, by the way. We have all these great coaches, and Larrañaga, like, I guess has...
It wasn't a retirement job after all, was it?
It wasn't. I thought he was going down to Miami to live his best life for the last 5 or 6 years.
Probably did that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. But he's done a terrific job. But guards with shot-making, that helps, obviously. Nigel Pack, they're the highest-paid team in the country. And it's been money well spent because, like, these guys are really, really good. They play together. And what we haven't really talked about enough, and somebody wrote an article about this the other day. I can't remember who did it, and I'd love to shout that person out. But with all the talk about, oh, well, you got to manage personalities in the locker room. Guys are getting paid different things. Doesn't matter at Miami. Doesn't matter at Miami. Apparently it's mattered at other places. But at Miami it hasn't mattered at all. He's gotten those guys to play really well. And my biggest concern coming into this year is I thought Omier – at his last stop, he overwhelmed who he played physically. I was like, I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that. Boy, it doesn't matter. He has done it anyway. He's got so much Trevor Booker in him, it's crazy.
Right, small ball, but just out-tough dudes.
Yeah, and they had Sam Wartenberg last year, who I thought was a good piece for them, who was out on the outside that would pass. Omier's come in, he does some of those same things.
What's the pathway for them to pull it off against Texas?
That's going to be a hard game. It's going to be a hard game. I think if anybody can do it, I think Miami can beat Texas. I just feel like Texas is playing so well right now. And they operate most of their time in the half court. Whenever you're scoring in the half court and defending in the half court, Texas is really tough to beat.
I have no idea what you said, but I think that Miami, if they are making those shots, they are going to win that game.
Wow!
If they are hitting, they're going to win that game.
No, I agree. I don't think that's outlandish.
Honestly, I
think it is. I think Texas could be argued as the best team left.
But it's a flip coin game.
Yeah.
It's a coin flip game.
Yeah, like I think
wow.
Texas is favored. Different guys that are scoring too.
Texas is favored by 4, so I will.
I like
on,
Texas.
I will be on Miami there.
See, but 4 is more than these other games, right? What's Creighton San Diego State? Turn around.
2.
They
Creighton's
got
favored by
it's 2. So that's the biggest line in the Elite Eight is 4. That's it. There's
yeah,
no like
amazing.
9-point line.
Well, again, I mean. It's funny. I mean, Kansas State's the one that you thought, well, you're playing FAU, right? Like, that would be a bigger spread than it is. But, listen, this tournament, who knows?
I got to tell you, this being here, yes, we're going to wrap shortly. Being here, like, you really get stuck looking out and being like, I really wish I didn't have to work tonight.
Look at this.
I'd be like, camp.
Look at this.
Oh. I would be in my Speedo in the middle of the second pool with a margarita
Cannonball.
In my
Cannonball.
Hand.
Imagine Fanta.
Do not lie to the people. This is our chat. This is our live stream. These are our listeners. Fanta is actually wearing a swimsuit right now.
He's got his suit tucked into his red Speedo.
Yeah, his suit is tucked in to swimsuit. He's jumping in. We're doing a cannonball.
I'm not jumping into the pool.
Chat,
I can do a mean cannonball.
200 likes, and Fanta's going to do another
Absolutely
cannonball
not.
Right
now.
Absolutely
not.
Fanta's
right
taking
now.
A red eye out of here tonight.
I am. I'm
He'll
out.
Not be with us tomorrow.
I'm home tomorrow.
All right.
I'm getting in.
He's got chores to do.
I'm doing my chores.
You got chores.
You got chores.
And I got
right.
games to watch.
What kind of chores you got, Fanta?
All kinds. All kinds. Call me Mr. Clean.
Whoa.
I'm thinking of like Flex Seal. I'm thinking of like cleaning supply commercials. Call me Mr. Clean. Yeah. Final thoughts, predictions. We all have Kansas State. We all have UConn. So we really don't need to group think.
I feel like something's going to happen today. It looks too easy.
Yep.
It looks too easy on surface. We're going to have an upset today.
I think San Diego State might be that team.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
I could see that.
All right, we got to hit the craps table.
We're good? For Dagan Hughes, for Rob Doster, for Terrence Oglesby, for Jeff Goodman, I'm John Fanta. We will talk to you after the game. Enjoy them, 6:09 Eastern Time. Kansas State and Florida Atlantic, who would ever thunk? One of those two teams going to go in the Final Four. And then after that, it's Gonzaga and UConn. We will have full coverage from T-Mobile Arena later this evening. Enjoy the games, everybody. The Elite Eight is here.